Blog Talk Radio.
This is Johan, and when I'm not practicing law or being a professor out at Hofstra University, I talk sports, I debate sports. For some great sports talk and debate, check out the Mail on After Further Review on Tuesday nights. Call in.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on approach. You want to join the conversation, got to pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the Mail keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, or clay. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. When it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
One, two. You got the Mayor in the building, man. After further review, man. Tuesday, March 11th, 2014. You got the Mayor in the house, man. You are tuned in to After Further Review on Teacher Palace Radio. First and foremost, shout out to the big homie Rich, man. It is what it is, my dude. We got to have it covered, man. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. I got you. Miss Lavina, doing her thing, holding everything down. What's up, everybody? How y'all feeling, man? Y'all enjoy that weather today, man. You know what I mean? Nice and crispy outside. You know what I'm saying? Don't get happy, though. You know what I mean? But we deserve that after this winter we're going through, man. No sunshine in the situation. NFL free agency popped off, man. You know what I mean? We're going to get into that. We're going to get into the Knicks and this Phil Jackson thing. I got an opinion about that, man. We're going to talk about spring training and all of that as far as baseball is concerned. And you know what it is, man. Selection Sunday is coming up this weekend, man. But we're going to rock with Selection Tuesday. We're going to do the top four seeds, who you got. Then we got to get four teams who you won't see going to the NCAA tournament this season. We're going to touch on everything, man. You got the Mayor in the house, man. Just relaxing, maintaining, you know what I'm saying? Get ready for this weather to change, hopefully, man. We got to go through one more little cold spell or whatever before everything gets official tissue, you know what I'm saying? Get ready for the NCAA tournament pops off. Tournament action starting tomorrow, actually. You know what I mean? ACC tournament popping off live and direct. So that's what I'm going to be paying special attention to because my Syracuse Orange men are doing their thing. And we've not looked so good in recent days here. And I'm really kind of like curious at how we're going to play down in the ACC tournament. It's going to be big. You know, the further we go in the tournament, talking about Syracuse, the harder it's going to be, you know what I mean, because that conference is loaded, you know what I'm saying, no matter what they say about the Big Ten, the Big 12, you know, the ACC conference is definitely loaded, you know what I mean, and, you know, it's a conference where, you know, it always something pops off as far as tournament is concerned. Duke, North Carolina, enough said, you know what I'm saying. So, we're going to see what it is. Syracuse is playing in the ACC tournament. Selection Sunday is going to pop off, man. I don't see Syracuse being any more than maybe a 3 seed, you know, and they brought that on upon themselves, you know, and it's deserved. I mean, you know, the season they had, 25-0, they end up like 26-4, you know what I mean? It, we needed losses. I always said that during the winning streak. You know what I mean? I was like, I didn't want to go into the NCAA tournament or the ACC tournament undefeated. But that first loss, you know what I mean, to kind of like throw the momentum off for the whole season. So I think that, you know, we got our losses out. We got all that out the way. Jeremy Grant's hurt for Syracuse Orangemen, so that's kind of, you know, kind of like hurting us. We played with 7 people, you know what I mean? We lost to Virginia Tech. But we won our last game against Florida State. So, you know, at least we're going into the ACC tournament on a good note. I see Syracuse, you know, being like maybe a number 3 seed, maybe out, you know, stick them out in the Midwest somewhere. You know what I mean? But, you know, I still say they had a good season. They're right where, you know, you probably expected them to be. Nobody picked Syracuse to, you know, run through the season undefeated. You know, they, I think they, the majority of their losses came from the ACC conference. So that's going to, you know, be something they have to learn from and get better heading into the ACC tournament. But I'm liking, you know, how my Syracuse Orangemen are looking, and we just got to get it together for the ACC tournament. That's all, and I'm looking forward to some good basketball. On the ladies' side, you know what it is, Connecticut all day. You know what I'm saying? They're undefeated. Notre Dame is undefeated. You know, the women's tournament is going to be real good this season too. You got a lot of good players. You know what I mean? All spread all across the country. And I'm looking forward to some good things. Connecticut, I really don't know if they're going to be able to win it this year. I think, you know, you might have a team out there that's going to come out of the woodworks, you know, because, I mean, that's how the season is breaking down. Anybody could beat anybody, you know. And, you know, I'm looking at the four top seeds I think I would have as far as the women's game is concerned. I would have Connecticut, Notre Dame, Stanford, and surprisingly, I would have Tennessee, because I think Tennessee has had a real strong season on the low, you know, and riding off the momentum of, you know, the retirement of Coach Summit. You know, salute to Coach Pat Summit. You know what I mean? And all the things that have been done, Tennessee just keeps, you know, they keep the train moving. You know what I mean? So they have not, you know, fallen off or anything like that. So I think, you know, that's what I'm looking at as far as the top four seeds in women's basketball is concerned. You know, you get a number two seed like a Duke or maybe a Louisville, or even maybe you could talk about a Baylor being a number two seed. A South Carolina, they had a strong season this year as well in the Southeast Conference. Dawn Staley is the coach down in South Carolina. She's doing her numbers, and salute to her. You know what I mean? Used to watch her play ball when she did her thing. I think she played at Temple, if I'm not mistaken. You're listening to the Mayor, yo. It's After Further Review. Jiggy Palace Radio's in the building, man. 646-200-3838 is the mathematics to dial. Press 1 and get in the conversation. We want to get in on a lot of things tonight. I definitely wanted to also touch base on what the congressperson from the state of Minnesota, his tweet in regards to the NBA. It was specifically NBA based, but it was, you know, kind of racially charged, and, you know, he knew what he was saying. So I just kind of like want to put some people's feet to the fire, because you feel like, you know, you have the right to say something that is going to be incendiary, and you know it's going to be incendiary, and all you have to say to fall back, to get back in people's good graces, is I'm sorry. And we all know better than that, you know what I mean? We don't do no political rants here, but we're going to speak truth to power After Further Review, because that's how we get down. You know, you are not outside of getting talked about or scrutinized, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to my hockey people, man. Big up to Rich Peverly, man. Send a big up to him. He had a episode on the bench. He plays for the Dallas Stars. He had an episode on the bench last night in regards to, you know, heart condition. And we're sending a big up to him and hope he gets better soon, man, gets back on the ice. You know, because that's a scary situation. You know what I mean? Remember when, you know, Hank Gathers, you know what I mean, and back in the days, you know, and he collapsed on the court, and, you know, in front of everybody, man, and unfortunately he passed away or whatever. But it's just a sad situation to see when, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, man. Get your health checked out, man. You know what I'm saying? Word up, man. I know. Get your health checked out. That's a PSA from the mayor to you. That's a free one, man. The first one is always free. Live and direct, man, After Further Review, March 11th, 2014, 646-200-3838 is the numbers to dial, man. We're going to get into some baseball talk, man, because the season pops off in 11 days. You know what I'm saying? So I got the little over-unders popping right now on the Facebook page. After Further Review, you can check it out. We're going to do the baseball preview probably, more likely it'd be probably next week sometime. And it's going to be hard body karate, and we're going to rock it just like we did last year's baseball preview. World Series picks, playoff picks, all that good stuff right there. So hang out with the mayor After Further Review. We got you covered. Putting back on the basketball, NBA note for a second. So, I don't understand what the big hubbub is about Phil Jackson going to the Knicks. I just think that it's a good, you know, it's a good look for publicity, or if you want somebody to start a conversation, you know, what they're going to talk about is what he did back in 1973. He hasn't been had any connection with the Knicks since the Knicks last won the title. You know what I mean? So to put him, you know, say that he's going to be back to do what exactly? You know what I'm saying? If he doesn't have, like, hands-on as far as the, you know, the personnel on the court is concerned, then what is he really doing? If he's going to be president of basketball operations, what does that really entail? Is he going to be scouting? Is he going to be, you know, hiring people? Is he going to be, you know, have some kind of connection to the product that's being put on the floor? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I would be more excited about it if he was saying he was going to come back to coach. Mike Woodson, oh, well, you know, that's life, B. You know, ask Mike Brown. You know what I'm saying? But I just think there, you know, the announcement and big celebration and all this, and nothing's really official yet. So that's really the other thing. You know, you're keeping people on pins and needles, like, oh, he's close to making a decision. I'm going to give you a decision by the end of the week. You know, come on, yo, with that. Even if you want to do it, you're not. You know, everybody knows the situation. You know what I mean? You're with Jeannie Buss. You know what I mean? She's down with the Lakers. And that's where, you know, your loyalties lie with the Lakers, but you're a Knick by heart. So however you want to rock it, you're not going to lose. But, you know, don't be removed from the situation. That's what I don't want Phil Jackson to do. He's just going to come in and say, okay, he's in the front office of the Knicks. So what does that mean? You're removed. You're not the general manager. You're not the coach. You know what I mean? You're just in the front office. You got a title. You know, so that's basically where it is with Knicks and Phil Jackson. I'm not against the move. I just think, you know, I don't, you know, think that automatically the Knicks are going to be title contenders because Phil Jackson is in the front office. I don't think that's what the Knicks are looking for. We live and direct here, man. After further review, 646-200-3838 is the master dial. You got the mayor in the building holding it down on Tuesday night. Looking forward to the NBA playoffs. They're coming up real soon. Everybody's battling for position right now. Shout out to all the Knicks fans in the building, man. You know, hoping for an eighth seed. I'm a Knicks fan. You know what I mean? First and foremost, and I'm not going to say anything that's going to be derogatory, but I'm going to tell the truth. You know, I don't, you know, see it happening as far as, you know, even getting into the playoffs right now. You're 25-40. You know, and a lot of things have happened. You got a lot of things to fall back on. You know, we had injuries. You know what I mean? Carmelo was doing it by himself and, you know, and things of that nature. But if you're supposed to be a team that's going to contend and wants to be respectable and be a contender at each and every season, you got to do it each and every season. You can't win 54 games one year and lose 54 games the next year. That's not consistent. So my thing is, you know, if the Knicks fans that are, you know, screaming for that eighth seed or that seventh seed or whatever and going in there, well, you know, all you're going to get is either Miami or Indiana in the first round of the playoffs. You know what I mean? So, again, you know, Miami and the Knicks play Miami tough during the regular season. You know, and what happens during the playoffs? That's all I'm saying. That's all. You know, you want to aspire for something greater. Get that sixth spot. Get that fifth spot. You know, don't aspire for a seventh or eighth seed. And you did that to yourself. So you want to, you know, you talking about you want to win. You want to win. You can win. Get the sixth spot. Yeah, that's where I'm at with it as far as the Knicks are concerned. You know, blowing it up is probably what's going to have to happen. And, you know, getting Phil Jackson, and Phil Jackson's not really the biggest Carmelo Anthony fan. So that's another situation where, you know, now Carmelo may have an out if he wants to go. And, you know, who's going to want to come to the Knicks with Phil Jackson in the front office? You know, maybe, you know, and the rumor about Steve Kerr, I don't want to talk about all of that. You know what I mean? And it might not be a bad look. Because you've had people, you know, come from the broadcaster booth to coach and do their numbers. You know, look at Mark Jackson out in Golden State. You know what I mean? He's doing his thing. So I'm not going to knock, you know, Steve Kerr, but when he was a general manager, I think, out in Phoenix. and it didn't go so well with him for whatever reason. But he could still make it happen, you know. And I think that it's going to have to be somebody that Phil Jackson is going to respect and it's going to command respect, you know. And that's not to take nothing away from Mike Woodson, but you know what I'm saying. I think that, you know, this would be definitely a situation where, you know, Phil might want to bring his own dude in, you know, because that's always been the talk. You know, you got the new regime, you got the new front office. They want to bring their people in. So I think this would definitely be a situation if Phil Jackson, you know, decides to come to the Knicks and, you know, become part of the front office and part of trying to get them back to respectability. Another thing I wanted to talk about as far as the Knicks are concerned, you know, I see a lot of things going on, you know what I mean, a lot of people posting on Facebook or whatever, these diehard Knicks fans or whatever. The thing that kind of kills me about them is they're always saying if. You know, now follow me. I mean, if you're going to say that your team, you got confidence in your team and you want your team to win, you would say when. You wouldn't say if, because if is casting doubt. So if you're casting doubt, what's wrong with me casting doubt from the door? You know what I'm saying? You're saying, oh, well, if the Knicks play the Miami Heat, if the Knicks beat the Miami Heat, if the Knicks do this, if the Knicks do that, when we going to take if out of the conversation and say when? That's all I'm asking. As a Knicks fan, you know, you tolerate a lot. You know, I just don't, you know, subscribe to the roses are red theory. I subscribe to it is what it is theory, and I look at it through the realistic vision, you know, because we're supposed to see the same thing. You know, you just respond to it different. You know, you might see the Knicks lose 10 in a row and be like, well, they're going to win the next one. I said, well, I look at it like they're not passing the ball. You know what I mean? They're not playing defense. They're making stupid boneheaded mistakes, which has always been a bastion for the New York Knicks. Making, you know, the IQ has not really been up there. You know what I mean? And that's kind of like a thing that has hurt the Knicks in the past. And hopefully, maybe with Phil Jackson coming aboard, and he could bring aboard some people and some things that would change and get back to kind of like some fundamentals. You know what I mean? Because along with the fundamentals comes the IQ. And I think that instead of people trying to be, you know, in the top 10 in ESPN, Sports Center or whatever, they should just worry about putting the ball in the hole, you know what I'm saying, and on the other side, playing some defense, playing smart defense, and being one step ahead of their opponent. I don't want to go on no tangent or nothing like that, but I'm just saying it is what it is with the Knicks. I watch the Knicks. I see the same thing you see, you know, but I don't look at it through a rose-colored glasses. I think this team deserves way more than what it's getting, you know what I mean? And I'm tired of, you know, it's always an excuse. It's always somebody. If it's not Carmelo Anthony, it's Raymond Felton. If it's not Raymond Felton, it's Tyson Chandler. If it's not Tyson Chandler, it's Prigioni. You know what I'm saying? It's somebody. It's always somebody. So we got to get into a situation where, you know, people are, you know, respect the New York Knicks. Nobody respects the Knicks because we don't respect ourselves right now. You're listening to After Further Review, man. I guess I'm going to get a round of applause and everything is copacetic. You know what I'm saying? All right, so that's what it is. You got the mayor in the house, man. 646-200-3838 is the mathematics, man. Press 1 to get it on the air and we can pop it off. Yeah, I think this, you know, the Knicks are going to do, you know, be what they are. But until they get different ownership, I think then, you know, that's when the situation is going to get better. We're not going to get better until Charles Dolan, you know, gets rid of the team. And they're supposed to be having some kind of, you know, rally or march against Charles Dolan. What is that going to prove? That's not going to prove anything. It's not going to, you know, say nothing to anybody. Or, you know what I mean? Be like, they're not going to, the Knicks are not going to want to, you know, say, oh, all of a sudden we got to give up the team or anything like that because Charles Dolan owns the team. He doesn't care about what's going on. You know what I mean? But hiring of Phil Jackson would kind of like set the tenor for, you know, things that could happen, you know, down the line. And maybe it would be the beginning of something, you know, changing as far as what's popping off at Madison Square Garden. And I think that you would have to probably at least give Dolan the benefit of the doubt. Because Phil Jackson could have just said, you know, nah, I don't want to be bothered with it. I'm going to rock with, you know, I'm going to stay, you know, I like the life that I'm living right now. And I'm going to do me. And y'all go ahead and figure it out. You know what I mean? But even getting Phil Jackson to listen and want to discuss it is a good look, you know? But he's going to have to definitely have his hand definitely in the mix, you know what I mean, as far as getting the Knicks back on point, you know, and yeah, just be a name and say, because Phil Jackson is going to be down with the Knicks, that the Knicks are going to all of a sudden be contenders in the Eastern Conference. That's not going to happen. So we here, man, live and direct, man, but you get it on and popping, man. It's Selection Tuesday, top four seeds, NCAA tournament. For the first four, your top four seeds, and then you're going to have four who won't get in, you know what I mean? So if you're ready, holler at your boy. We're ready to get it on and popping. My top four seeds right now, before we get into Selection Sunday, I'm still kind of leery on it because still a couple of teams could do some things over the weekend, you know, before the selection show, because the selection show is Sunday, that could kind of like change some things. But I think that Wichita State is locked into a number one seed. I definitely think Wichita State is locked into a number one seed. I think Florida is definitely locked into a number one seed. Now, the other two seeds, you know, Virginia was good until they lost, you know what I mean, the other night. You know what I'm saying? So now how do you, you know, does Villanova get a look as a number one seed? You know, I heard people talking about Michigan. I don't think Michigan. You know, maybe a nice number two for Michigan, but I don't see them getting a number one seed. You know, hey, Arizona. Is Arizona still worthy of a number one seed? I'm not really too sure about that, but the only two I can say for sure that will be locked into number one seeds in the tournament right now would be Florida and Wichita State. Florida's 34-0. You know, if you were a betting person, you probably would put your money on Wichita State. There's the bell. We got the bell. The bell is back in effect. Get a round of applause for the bell. It's after further review in the building. We live and direct on a Tuesday night. I want to say what up to my man. What's going on, Slick? We got Slick in the building. He's the first caller of the evening on After Further Review. Slick, what's good, man? Welcome to the biggest show. What's happening? Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah, what's good, Slick? What's happening? Welcome to the biggest show, my dude. What's going on?
What's going on, fam?
Ain't nothing.
What's really good?
Who is
popping and still going good, like as always do.
What is Slate?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, all right, no doubt, Slate. This is Slick. I don't know what's going on, man. Here we go with the
yeah, technical difficulties, I guess.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. More ways than one, my brother. What's popping, my G?
Same old, same old. Everything good.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we getting ready to I'm hollering at you, man, because you know, it's getting ready to go down, man. ACC tournament, right? So we gonna have to, you know, you my man. We go back like rocking chairs and all that. But you North Carolina, and I, you know, I'm coming into your conference. I know you, this is your conference. You've been holding it down. You've been doing your thing. You know what I mean? But
no doubt.
Yeah, we coming to the ACC tournament, man, and see what it is. So like, what are you looking forward to as far as this weekend with the ACC tournament?
I'm just looking forward to some good games, man. And the ACC is so up and down, like, it's up for grabs. Like, I ain't never seen it this up for grabs before in a long time. It could be Syracuse. It could be Duke. I love North Carolina, but I don't think we're going to do anything because we still can't hit free throws. And it's going to come down to that. And if you can't hit free throws, you're not going to win. Bottom line. But I'm looking to see an exciting tournament, and I do agree with you. I think Florida's definitely locked in. I think Wichita State's locked in, and the other two are up for grabs, just like you said.
Yeah, man. And you know, to me, I'm gonna keep it all the way frankly with you, my dude. Virginia came out of nowhere. I was not paying any attention to Virginia because I was keeping track of the ACC standings. I was watching Duke. I was watching North Carolina, even Pittsburgh, you know what I mean? But I did not see Virginia at 6-6. Virginia came out of nowhere. And now, they're talking about them being a number one seed or whatever, and they lost the other day. So I don't know, you know, what's going to rock with that. But again, you know, like you said, Florida and Wichita State definitely locked in as number one seeds. And again, if you was a betting man, you might want to think about dropping a little something on Wichita State because they had... they have the precedent because they were in the Final Four last year. So if they go to the Elite Eight this year, they fell off. You know what I mean?
They got a team full of veterans.
Go ahead.
With me, it's like your true colors will show. Like, I give Wichita State for being undefeated and all of that, but with me, it's a level of competition thing. And I know everybody saying, oh, they went to the Final Four last year, and what did they do in the long run? Nada. When you're playing teams week in, week out, the best of the best, don't tell me that doesn't mean nothing when you're playing East, West, and Mississippi. Come on, man.
Mm.
Like,
You're right. But they did it last year. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
They did it last year. In the same situation. They played in the Missouri Valley, because that's the conference they play in, which is weak.
And then they went to the NCAA tournament
and went to the Final Four.
Last year is last year. If that's the case,
that's
why
true.
Don't everybody just quit and fill out the same
and let Wichita State
go back? That doesn't mean anything. What you did last year. It's a new year.
Mm.
That's what makes the tournament. That's why I love the tournament. Don't get it twisted. I like NBA better than college. But college is exciting around this time because anything can happen. You know what I'm saying? All of this is exciting to me. The teams on the bubble, the teams that make it, the teams that don't. I'm just saying it's a level of competition thing to me. Put Syracuse over there and let them play Wichita State schedule. Let us play Wichita State schedule. I mean, you know, come on. But I don't get, like, undefeated is undefeated. But we'll see. Either you're going to get your skirt pulled up or you're not.
No, you're not. Yeah, there you go.
Just like Virginia.
Yeah.
Virginia was this and that. They ain't been nothing since Ralph Sampson. Oh, they was 15-1 in the ACC. The only one who beat them was Duke in the last couple minutes. And then they just lost to Maryland. This is when it counts.
Mm-hmm.
All that you did at the beginning of the season don't mean nothing. They may not even get a number one seed now.
Right, that's what I was saying. I mean, Virginia snuck up on me for, and I admit it. Virginia snuck up, came out of nowhere, and again, you know, they did what they had to do, and now they were talking about them being the number one seed, and then what happens? Boom, they lose to Maryland. So you know, you can get knocked off your perch real quick. And again, with Syracuse, man, what were we talking about a few weeks back when Syracuse was undefeated? I said they need a loss. You know what I mean? I didn't need four losses.
You said that, too.
But you know what I mean?
Your bandwagon, you was toning it down. You was like, you know what? I ain't even going to get hyped. We've been having too many close games.
Yeah, right.
We need a loss. You definitely were saying that way back when.
Yeah, and I just think that now that, you know, with Jeremy Grant being hurt, and you know, we're suffering some losses, and Keita is not doing anything for us. He's not giving us no help. He's 7 foot of just a broomstick and just doing nothing. He's just I don't know what to say about this dude. But I don't know. I was feeling better about how our chances, but now I'm kind of like feeling, I don't know. I don't even see us being like a Sweet 16 team. I don't know, man. I can't call it. Depends on where they play us, man.
I think y'all got just as good of a chance as anybody else, yo. I just hate that old zone that y'all refuse to come out.
Yeah, Cooney's off his game. Yeah, we've been playing the 2-3 forever, man. 2-3 zone is what it is. 2-3 zone is what it is. But, yo, we're going to switch gears right quick for 1 second, man. We're going to talk about the NFL, man. Some free agency stuff popping off, man. Your team do anything significant? Anything you want to talk about with your Steelers?
Yeah. I think we made a pretty good move. Like, you know me, I'm diehard Pittsburgh. So I still think no matter how old we are, everything, you know, everybody could still play. But reality got to set in. Like, we let Woodley go. Woodley's my man. I love him to death. But let's face it, the last 3 years, Woodley's been hurt a lot. I think he might have played maybe 2 to 3 full games last year at the most. We picked up Levi Brown because, for those of you who don't know, Pittsburgh had the most offensive line changes than anybody in the league. I think every other week we picked a different starter to get hurt. I mean, we had centers playing tackles playing guards. And we still won like 5 out of our last 6. We did our thing. We got a lot to look forward to. But the one move we made that I'm glad, we just got my man Mitchell from the Carolina Panthers. We gave him 5 years, $25 million. He's nice. He's 26. He's young. He's hyped. You know, Carolina's defense wasn't no joke either. And mm-hmm. I'm excited mm-hmm. to see him do his thing. Palmaro's still back there. He's getting a little long in the tooth. But, you know, he's still the catalyst back there. He's the defensive
okay.
leader.
I mean, as long as he's still producing, man, that's what it is.
And we breed linebackers. That's the one position I'm never scared to lose. No matter how good we are there or whatever, we like socks. We interchange linebackers. We got Jarvis Jones. We still got a whole crew of linebackers. I'm not even worried about the linebacker spot.
Okay, let me ask you a question right quick. It's been a year now. Last year at this time, we were talking about the kid from Georgia you guys were going to draft, the linebacker, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's his name?
Jarvis Jones.
Jarvis Jones, the linebacker. So it's been a year. What's your scout report? What's your grade on that kid a year later?
I mean, he was a baby. You know what I'm saying? When you were in Panthers, sometimes you're going to mess on yourself. You got to learn. It's all about a learning process. But this is the year I want to see with him. All right, you had people in front of you showing you the way. Now it's time for you to step up. It's time for you to be that guy we brought you in to be. If not, like I said, that's the one position you don't play with. Pittsburgh don't like to pay. Let's get that straightforward at the top. We do not like to pay. So if you're not producing, you will be long gone. Bottom line. So you better do what you need to do or you'll be doing it somewhere else.
That's what it is. What's your opinion on Ryan Clark, man? You think he's coming back?
You know, I hope so. Like these guys got to realize, like, when you have it, you have it. When you don't, you don't. And sometimes you need that other person perspective because you can't see it yourself or maybe you refuse to believe it. I hope he can come back. Like, Ike seen the light. Ike. You have been a little suspect lately. You my man, 40 grand, diehard still, I love you. But let's face it, you're not really that one-on-one dude. Ike would be a nice safety now to a Rod Woodson. Rod knew when it was that time, as great as I used to be, I'm not great now. So let me play my position, switch lanes, go to safety, where it's not as much one-on-one, and I can do bigger, better things.
Okay. All right.
We're going to make do. Our problem, our biggest problem was our offensive line. And, I mean, don't get it. Compared to our defenses of the other past, we was real suspect, too. Like, I can't remember the last time we ended up, like, 18th or 19th or whatever we ended the season as. But our offensive line was our biggest problem. We had no stability there. So even when our defense did have a mediocre game, we couldn't score. Like, look, when I think about all of the bum games we lost to, Tennessee, the Raiders, and just like, oh, my God. Like, are you kidding me? Like, for real? Minnesota?
So you see your team drafting offensive line help?
What was that?
I said, do you see the Steelers drafting offensive line help?
No, not really. Because our offensive line, everybody should basically be coming back healthy. Think of it. Pouncey went down in game one. The last 2 years we had Pouncey. When we last made it to the Super Bowl against Green Bay, Pouncey got hurt. He didn't even start in the Super Bowl. We had Doug Legursky, which is our third string or second string guard playing center. So, you know, as much as I love Pouncey, he needs to get it together too. He's been getting hurt. And it seemed like it's always somebody falling on that back leg, tearing his knee up. And I don't mean at the end of the season. I'm talking the very beginning of the season. Game one, 8 minutes into the first quarter, the first
Right. Some old Tom Brady or Benny Testaverde.
Yeah. Then Gilbert went down. And, you know, that's why we drafted Levi Brown from the Cardinals, who didn't even pass a physical or something. He didn't play a single second for us. So we cut him, too. Listen, the Steelers is like $12 million under the cap right now. That's good for us because we was way over it last year. We're $12 million under right now. Holla at your boy.
No
Black
doubt,
yellow,
man.
We ain't going nowhere.
That's my man, Slade.
Yeah, you heard me. We ain't going nowhere.
Status report on this Pittsburgh Steelers right now. You listen to Afterthought Review. CQ College Radio in the building. Shout out my man, Mr. Hollywood. You know what I mean? I see you, my dude. It's going down. I saw you.
What's
slick,
up with your
man,
box,
you know,
man?
You know, I know sometimes, you know, I say some slick things about your Lakers and stuff like that. I seen you, put a couple of posts out there regarding my Knicks and Mr. Phil Jackson. I just kind of like wanted to get your opinion about the Knicks and going after Phil Jackson.
Let me make this clear. I'm a diehard Lakers fan. All my teams, I'm diehard. Over 30 years, every single team. Everybody who knows me know what I like. But New York City is the mecca of basketball, and we ain't did a darn thing since 73. That's a shame. I'm a fan of the sport first, and I would love to see New York do anything. If Phil can come and help with all that Zen Master this or that, bring it on. But it would be amazing. I would really like to see it because Phil has been blessed to have the best of everything. Like going from Mike to Scotty to Shaq and Kobe isn't too much of a drop-off. And
right,
then from
that's right.
Shaq and Kobe to Shaq, Kobe, Gasol, and Bynum, that's not much of a drop-off from there. So he's just getting the best of all worlds. Unlike Larry Brown, I have never seen him build something from scratch without the premier players in the league to do it. So if he can come to New York and be in the upper management or whatever and bring people there, I'm all for it.
No doubt.
I go see the Knicks as bad as they play now. I go see the Knicks because I got a friend that works for the Knicks.
Hold on one second. We got another call on the line. Mr. Hollywood, what's good, man? Welcome to the Bigger Show. What's happening?
Slate, Mr. Mayor, how y'all feeling tonight?
What's going on, brother, man? How you?
I got in right on time with the Knicks conversation. First thing first with the Knicks, they're not dead yet. I wrote them off like a week or two ago, but I'm watching the Knicks the way they're playing right now. It's just a whole different attitude in that locker room right now. They're playing. Not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but it's going to be a fight to the end. Definitely going to be a fight to the end. I like the way they're playing right now, and the team looks so much better when Chandler's not on that team. You're putting Stoudemire at the five, who look like he's back to being on top of his game again. So it's definitely an exciting time watching them right now, making the NBA a little bit more exciting instead of watching the same old jokers day in and day out, day in and day out. Glad to have the Knicks playing some meaningful basketball right now. But like I said, keep your fingers crossed. Still a long way to go, but a short time to get there. I hope they make it. That's just my personal opinion.
I hear you. That was nice.
So
we should give you a round of applause and all of that. I'm a Knicks fan too, but
and I hear what you're saying.
But Amari Stoudemire, you're right. They're playing good ball right now, today. You know what I mean? What about next week? You know what I mean?
You're right.
I mean, show me some consistency. I got you. I'm willing to ride out with you. You know what I mean? But you got to be consistent with it. You can't be buffing it on people one day and then getting your stuff blocked the next day when you're playing in Charlotte. You know what I mean? Come on, yo. You know what I mean? That's all I'm asking as a Knicks fan. You don't need. You have no reason to be 25-40. You have no reason to be 25-40.
Not at all.
There's no excuse for that. You know what I mean?
Especially not
so
in the week
first of all, say it again.
Especially not in the weak Atlantic.
Thank you. So, like, I don't understand. So you can't beat me in the head with the excuses, first of all. So my thing with the Phil Jackson, like I was just telling Fritz a second ago, I'm with it and all of that, but to what degree, man? How is Phil going to be involved in the everyday on the floor what goes on with the Knicks? If you're putting him in the front office, what does that mean?
Mr. Mayor, I was going to touch on that right there in the next point. Now, I'm happy. I'm thrilled. Phil, I mean, coming back home. You won a championship with the New York Knicks back in 73. I mean, it's only fitted that you do come back home and try to get the job done. But see, now I want everybody to just think.
Hey, remember when they tried to with Willis Reed?
And listen to this real
quick. Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. All right.
Everybody.
Uh-huh.
If Phil Jackson.
Everybody gets
if
a shot.
Phil Jackson.
And Dave DeRusher.
No, remember? If Phil Jackson was coming in to be the next head coach of the Knicks, I would be even more happy right now.
It'd be a whole different situation.
It'd
be a whole different story. Yeah,
you know
right,
Phil
right.
Jackson. You know Phil Jackson as a coach, and he's a damn good coach. Even with the man-made, homemade teams that he gets and stuff like that, he's still a good coach. You know, overall.
Yeah.
But now You don't. Phil Jackson has no reputation in management. None. So he could be the greatest coach in the world, but the worst executive all at once.
And he has no reputation with, like Slate said, he has no reputation of starting from the bottom and building up either. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it's kind of like we're going into the Twilight Zone again. We don't know what we're going to get out of this dude.
I mean, the same could be said with Donnie Walsh when he first came. Donnie Walsh was supposed to be some kind of great executive, and Donnie Walsh turned out to be
Donnie Walsh, a hell of an executive. To work with, though.
That's what
Real
I'm saying.
Quick,
now, imagine if he did.
He's worse than the management now. He can only tie the management now, no matter how bad he does. Like, I get that. Like, he's never, like, built nothing from the ground up is what I said earlier. But the way the Knicks is playing, he can only tie them. He can't do no worse.
I read something earlier. It was interesting. It was talking about Colangelo when it was offered to him the Knicks executive job a couple years ago. And David Stern had... you know, had his input in with Dolan, and pretty much was trying to tell Dolan he wanted Dolan to stay out of the day-to-day operations, and Dolan, you know, quickly denied that and said that wasn't happening. Colangelo didn't take the job. I mean, it could be the same situation now with Phil Jackson. The only way the Knicks are going to get themselves out of this is if Dolan just does one thing as the owner of the Knicks: sign the checks. That's it. That's all you're asking your owner to do. These hands-on owners, fine. They work with George Steinbrenner, fine, but everybody's not George Steinbrenner. Dolan's not Steinbrenner. I mean, it works with Mark Cuban to a certain degree, but again, Dolan is not Mark Cuban. Certain things work for certain people, and Dolan has to sit back and say to himself, now, I'll make more money with this franchise now with someone like Phil Jackson in charge of the franchise if I just sit back and be the owner and the fan of a team instead of being the boss of the team and having himself involved in every decision that is made with the New York Knicks. That's the only way I think the Knicks are going to get out of this. Other than that, we might get a false hope next year. Knicks might win 45 games with Phil Jackson in charge, and he looks like, oh, he's the great executive. But then the next year when it's time to trade for someone that shouldn't be traded for, and your executives are telling you, no, don't trade for him. Wait for him in the free agent or something. Don't gut the team out. If Dolan decides he wants to do again what he did with Donnie Walsh, then you're running back into the same problem again. And that's what I'm concerned about. That's what I'm concerned about.
So
the
Knicks are going to be...
I don't think Phil is in it for the struggle. I think Phil just want to have his cake and eat it too. Like, if Phil gets the job and he comes in and the Knicks do bad and Melo leaves and... you know, that first season or two, which is only natural, is a little rough. Phil might just be right back to that, well, I'm going to do my Zen thing and be out. Like, you know, just make sure you're in it for the long run, Phil.
But why would he... Slate, I got to ask you a question. Why would he want to be in something for the long run if the long run is not presenting itself anything positive? I'm not going to work for someone that's constantly... meddling in the business and going off against everything I have to say. Why would you want to take the job?
It's
not enough money
place right now. He still wants to take the job.
Well, I mean, Phil must be taking this job under the assurance. I'm not even going to use the word assumption. Under the assurance that Dolan is out of the picture when he takes over.
Right. I agree with that to some extent.
So
I think that something has to take place to that degree where Dolan has to be just let Phil Jackson do what he does. You know what I mean? If you're going to hire me, it's hands off. You know what I'm saying?
And what expectations from Knicks fans? I'm going to ask you, Mr. May. I'm going to ask you this because I know you're a diehard, hard-body karate Knicks fan. What expectations will you have next year? One full season with Phil Jackson running the show. You know he's going to cut out the team. He's going to get rid of Mills. He's going to get rid of this one. He's going to get rid of some players, this and that. Would you accept if he came out from day one to say, you know what, this is a rebuilding process. Give us a year or two. Would you accept that? Would you sit back and allow that? How would you feel about that? Are you putting too much and the question I'm asking is, where's the pressure level with Phil Jackson?
Well, I think if he takes the job and he comes out and says the things that you know you just intimated, Yeah, there's going to definitely be a grace period. It's going to be a natural grace period because we know where we are financially. We know where we are as far as draft pick wise. We have nothing. The cupboard is bare. So Phil Jackson, already from the door, he's accepting the situation status quo as it is by taking the job. So for my expectation as a Knicks fan, and I'm one of those that you might not want to ask this question to. I'm going to tell you like it is. I'm not going to tell you no pie in the sky stuff. Look, 45 wins would be good. You know what I mean? 50 wins would be nice. A 6-seed would be nice. I always have high expectations for my team, and they always play beneath those expectations. So now with Phil Jackson, I have to buy another grace period until 2015, until maybe we could get somebody in some free agency to come and play with the Knicks because Phil Jackson is showing that he's making some kind of improvement in the team. And as far as we don't hear Charles Dolan's name in the newspaper, I'm good. That's my experience. That's all I can ask for. I can't ask for Eastern Conference Finals in year one. I can't ask for that because my team is not going to be built for that. So all I can ask for is to be respectable, make the playoffs, the 6th or 7th seed, I'll eat that. You know what I'm saying? And take what comes with it. But as long as we're showing progression, by 2015, we're ready to be in the mix. That's it.
I agree. Because, see, a lot of people, again, I'm going to go back to Phil Jackson not being the coach. I'm going back to him now being the president. So what is his pull at now with these players now as far as getting them to come sign with New York now? I think that's going to be the biggest challenge he has. Again, if it's Phil Jackson as the coach of the New York Knicks, you're going to get everybody and their mother trying to get on the Knicks to play with Phil Jackson because everywhere he goes, everywhere he coaches, he wins. But now, what do you as a player, what's your perception now of Phil Jackson as an executive? Are you rushing to get to New York? Because even though he's not coach you, it's still Phil Jackson. I'm coming to play for the Knicks.
I don't think so. Cause I don't think, first of all, I don't think playing for the Knicks has the allure that it once did, first of all. So I think it's going to take, more than, Phil Jackson, being in the front office for somebody to say, I'm going to want to come and, be a cornerstone and want to make sure that I'm here to see that this thing gets turned around. I think it's going to take more than that. I don't know what it's going to take at this point, because if you got a person like Carmelo Anthony and you come in here and then he wants to, opt out or, leave or whatever, that's on him. So it says a lot, man. You know what I mean? Unless you got somebody that just, wants to really just play in New York and sees the vision, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of the stuff that the Knicks have done in the past, they did it to themselves. So, you want to make sure that the situation is going to be right and it's going to be pushed in the right direction, and Phil Jackson will be a jump-off point towards that. And I think that players would respect that probably, but to a degree where they want to sign with the Knicks, I don't know.
Well,
That's yet to be determined.
I got to tell you something, too. Another catch point to Phil Jackson taking his job. See, you don't know who to believe these days. I mean, you get reports from out of everywhere.
I don't believe none of them. I really don't either
because first it was like Phil didn't want Carmelo to be there. Now I'm hearing he's not taking the job unless Carmelo gives assurance that he's signing with the Knicks. So which one is it?
They wasn't the best of buddies from the door when they was both out in the West. You know what I'm saying? So you're gonna hear anything from this point in the matter. I'm at the point in the matter now where it doesn't even matter to me. It doesn't register unless they say Phil signed. Okay, now it's done. Now what? You know what I'm saying? I'm not hyped or excited about it. It's killing me how people making this out to be like, if Phil Jackson comes to the Knicks all of a sudden going to win 60 games next year. That makes no sense.
He's going to yell downstairs during halftime to play defense?
It doesn't make sense. So I don't drink none of the Kool-Aid, man. This just gives them something to talk about and scream loud at each other and talk about stuff that they have no idea what's going on. But you're listening to After Further Review, man. 646-200-3838 is the math. You got my man Slate in the building. I got my man Mr. Hollywood in the house. Anything else, man, in regards to the baseball spring training you want to touch upon right quick?
I'm loving what I'm seeing from the Yankees. I think Betances.
Man, you're always loving what you're seeing from the Yankees.
Of course. I am. I'm loving it. You know what I'm loving more than anything about spring training? You know what I'm loving really so much about this spring training? I'm loving the way Derek Jeter is moving in the infield. That's what I'm loving. I'm loving that.
Okay.
I think he's healthy. I think he's going to have a healthy, productive year. And it's funny how last week I had mentioned if Jeter has a good year, what he think about coming back next year. And then I heard on the Yes Network the same question the other day. That was too funny for me.
If Jeter has a good year this year, it'll be just like he's going out on like a champ. That's all. He's done. This is his last year.
What's up with my man at first base?
Oh, Teixeira?
Teixeira, the Yankee, who's always hurt.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be back, and I'm kind of counting on him to have a big year, man. You know what I mean? It'd be like us getting another free agent back, you know what I mean, with Marcia Scherer coming back. We got Kia on the line. Kia, what's good? Welcome to the Bigger Show. What's happening?
Hello? How's everybody?
Yeah, your people with the Puerto Rican phone bills, they left the bill at the door. I told them you didn't live here.
I was about to ask.
I don't know what's going on. Maybe they cut your service off or something. Just Kia in the building, y'all. Give Kia a round of applause.
Yay.
There you go.
I was about to ask her if she had another list. Hey, man.
She got to point the aluminum foil to the left.
Hey, May, I was going to ask her, does she have another list this week? I enjoyed the list last week. Of her top 90 teams.
I'm going to get it. That's Kia on the second. She's going to definitely call back and holler at me, but it's all good. So Slate, man, I'm looking forward to Mark Teixeira, man. You know what I mean? Coming back and doing some numbers, man. Maybe not the numbers that we're used to seeing him do, but I'm looking at him more on the defensive side, man. You know what I mean? Because he's going to have to handle a lot of wild throws, man. Go ahead.
Can he play 100 games? Can he play 100 games?
He's going to have to play 100 games. He's going to have to play 130 games. Because, you know, he's going to probably hit the DL. I give Mark Teixeira the over-under on Mark Teixeira going on the disabled list this season, probably 2.
Hello?
I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to surprise you.
Yeah, hold on. That's Kia on the second. Kia, what's good?
I'm sorry. I'm just driving and talking at the same time, so I'm sorry because if I can't get to my location yet, so I'm just have to go.
You need to get to your location and then call in. You know what I'm saying? Safety first, yo.
It's going to be another hour before I get to the location.
Oh, wow.
We worry about you, Kia.
Don't crash into nothing. Don't crash into nothing.
Say what?
I said don't crash into nothing.
I ain't going to crash into nothing.
I might have to make a choice. I might have to make a choice between testifying for you and going to opening day.
Oh, shoot.
I'm going to be right with the bleacher creatures.
Speaking of baseball, that came from left field.
I'm going to be right with the Bleacher Queens. What's good? My dude Slate was asking about Mark Teixeira. Yeah, I mean, 130 games, I think I would be acceptable at this point. You know what I mean? Defense, give me 20, 25 home runs, something close to maybe 100 RBIs. I think I would take that for Mark Teixeira right now.
For Mark Teixeira?
Yeah. Slate was asking about Mark Teixeira.
We're going to hit a lot of home runs this year.
Yeah.
We are going to hit a ton.
Kia, the baseball preview is going to be next week, yo. I'm doing the baseball preview next week because the season starts.
The season starts
on the 22nd. Starts on the 22nd with the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks in Australia. So I gotta pop off the baseball preview early. So. Whoever's listening out there, man, if you want to contribute to the After Further Review baseball preview, man, holler at me on After Further Review on Facebook or whatever, and we get it popping. All suggestions will be checked out. You know what I mean? So holler at your boy After Further Review. You know what it is. The Yankees. I like Tanaka. Hey, Hollywood, your man is pitching good. Pineda, he's looking good.
Yes, he is.
He's looking very good right now. He's looking
healthy.
Good right now, Kia. You know what I mean?
I got a little confidence in that. Yeah, he looked good the other day.
I'm having one problem with the Yankees right now. I'm having an issue right now with the Yankees.
Oh, please. What is your issue now?
Yeah, you got an issue with the Yankees. Look at this.
Now, I'm going to tell you.
It's the same dude that said that everything is lovely with the Yankees. I'm wondering what's up with you, man.
I see. But it's only one little minor problem I'm having. I don't think the Yankees should be trying to get rid of Ichiro. He's having a very good spring. And you just know somebody in the outfield is going to get hurt, and we're going to need insurance. I don't think we should get rid of Ichiro. I really don't. I really don't think we should get rid of him. That's just my personal opinion.
If we had some pitching, I mean, if Ichiro is not going to, you know, trade him somewhere where he's going to get to play every day. That's the thing. You know what I mean?
If I could hold on to Ichiro,
I would keep Ichiro too, but Ichiro's kind of like up in age now, you know what I'm saying? And no disrespect
and
to him.
He still could bring that positive back, though.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, like Kia said, he could bring something back, you know, that's going to be worth value, that can help us, you know what I'm saying? So, again,
we have a stockpile of outfielders.
What are we getting for Ichiro?
We can get some pitching for Ichiro.
I don't know.
We could get Chase Headley for Ichiro to play third base.
Ooh.
Chase Headley from San Diego. Do your homework.
I thought you said Ted Lilly. I'm like, who?
No, jeez. I said Chase Headley.
He plays
third base for San Diego Padres.
You know what?
I've been having my eye on him for the past couple years now.
Yeah, I know. You've been mentioning for the last 3 weeks. I want you to go and get him, and he better do good, because if he don't, brother, oh, man.
I mean, you know what, Hollywood, 260, 16 and 70, I take that. 16 home runs, 70 RBIs, 270 average, a nice glove at third base. I take that.
Yeah, but it's still going to run into a problem, though. We have the walking wound. We have the MASH unit out in outfield. We have the MASH unit. We need somebody who's going to be out
unit.
There.
Who's hurt?
What do you mean, who's hurt? Who's known for getting hurt in out there?
No, that's not what I asked you.
I asked you who's hurt. I'm talking about the insurance policy. There's no one hurt now.
We got Eduardo Nunez can play the outfield. Wow. Kerry Johnson can play the outfield. Soriano can play the outfield. You know what I'm saying? I get what you're saying. But, like, let Ichiro go somewhere where he's going to play every day. He's not going to play every day for the Yankees.
Ichiro's not going to play every day anyway, I don't think.
So what are you talking about? What's your point?
My point is that
Ichiro somewhere where he can go sit on the bench like he's going to do for the Yankees?
I'm not saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I'd rather him be our insurance policy than another team insurance policy and then turn back around.
Okay, I agree with you on that, my dude. I got you on that. But are we trying to win a championship here, or are we trying to keep people on the bench so somebody else won't get them?
I'm trying to win a championship here, but at the same time, I'm trying to tell you that we're going to be getting rid of someone that could probably help us get a championship later somewhere down in this season.
That's why we signed Brett Gardner.
Well, I would agree with you.
That's why we gave Brett Gardner $52 million.
We just gave him
$52 million.
Okay, how many outfielders do we have? Give me the outfielders. We have Soriano. We have Ellsbury.
We got Beltran in right, Ellsbury in center, Gardner's in left. That's the starters.
Out of those three, who's going to stay healthy in that group? Probably Gardner. None of them. Okay, now, if we turn around and get rid of Ichiro, right? Now, if one of them go down, one, we can replace one. We can't replace two. If we get rid of Ichiro,
then all we have to do is we can plug in Nunez to play in the outfield. We can plug in Kerry Johnson to play in the outfield.
Oh, Lord. Jeez.
I'm not saying get rid of Ichiro, my dude. You asked me a question, and I'm like, if I could get something back that's worth value for Ichiro, which I can right now, I would do it. But Ichiro wants to play.
I'd rather trade Cervelli than Ichiro. I'd rather get rid of Cervelli than Ichiro. If we're going to get back the same pitching that you're talking about, We can get another bat with Cervelli and keep Ichiro. That's my opinion. I can't. Because, again, you're going on a track record with Beltran and Soriano and Ellsbury. I mean, if one of those three that I mentioned give us 110 games this year, that was beautiful. If one of the three do what now? Give us 110 games, I'll be thrilled.
Out of the outfielders?
Yeah.
One of those three that I just mentioned.
Out of the starters?
No, out of those three that I just mentioned to you, Ellsbury, Beltran, Soriano in the outfield, if one of those three play 110 games or more, I'll be thrilled because it's not going to happen.
Two of them will play 110 games or more. Two of them.
So they're not,
Ellsbury
so
and Beltran.
So you telling me they're not going to go to the disabled list for a long period of stretch of time this year?
Ellsbury might. I know Beltran is.
Beltran definitely.
But they're not going to go. They're not going to be on the 60 day. Like they might do a stretch on the 10-day disabled on the 10-day DL or something like that. But if you're talking about Beltran, Ellsbury, and Gartner, you know what I mean?
Well,
all three of them might play 110 games.
I don't agree with that.
All three of them.
Huh?
Ellsbury, was he on the disabled list last
year? Yes! Yes!
Okay.
So
Beltran.
Right. But you know what, Kia? He still led the American League in stolen bases. He had 52 stolen bases.
That's what I was about to say. That's what I was about to say.
He hit 298. He hit 298. You know what I'm saying?
I was just about to say, but when he came back in great stride.
Mm-hmm. He came back doing good. So again, Hollywood, to your point, my dude, as far as Ichiro was concerned, I mean, if I could get something back that's worth value, I definitely, you know, I have to, you know, let Ichiro go, man. You know what I'm saying?
Not me, bro.
But he's good to have around. He's a good insurance policy, like you said, to have around. But I got youngsters I can do that, man. I got Brett Gardner. I just gave him $52 million, man.
Yeah, but then you're talking about one of your starters. I'm talking about, again, you saying Nunez, you're saying Johnson.
Yeah,
I mean,
now Nunez, Soriano, what's the other dude? Yeah. Almonte, Zoyo Almonte. We got dudes that can play the outfield.
Boy.
We can stick Kelly Johnson out there.
Oh, boy.
So if you're planning for Beltran to be out for a long stretch of time, then what are you planning on Beltran doing to help the Yankees? I'm not trying to see Beltran getting hurt, or Ellsbury, or Gardner, or Ichiro. No. We don't need no more injuries
right now.
We need everybody at full speed.
Like, I'm going to agree with him. I would rather have Ichiro stay.
Huh?
I would rather have Ichiro stay.
Of course. To do what? He's a good spring. What do you mean what?
To do what? Is Ichiro going to start? Is Ichiro going to play? When is Ichiro going to play? Against who?
I just think
understand your point.
Ichiro would be a better effect.
Coming off the bench?
Yeah.
Kia.
Don't forget about that cannon arm he still has there from the outfield. Late inning replacement?
So you telling me you'd rather have Ichiro in right field than Beltran?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
What are you talking about? Your point is,
huh? You're
not making no point. You keep telling me about Ichiro, how you want to keep him on the team, and I keep telling you it's cool to keep him on the team, but when is he going to play? Now you're telling me, I don't know, he got me some insurance and this and that. Beltran is in. You. Oh, man, come on, bro.
And Beltran takes some time off.
You got the best defensive outfield in baseball right now.
Yeah, but you know what, though?
Ellsbury in center and Gardner in left? Come on, son.
Let me tell you something. If Joe Girardi knows how to manage this team, he could do this every single day, and it won't hurt anyone. You start Beltran. You start the big three, which is Gardner, Beltran, and Ellsbury. And then maybe the next day or two, you take one of them out, put Ichiro in there. Then you could keep rotating him in back and forth. That's what happens.
What if Beltran is hot?
Huh?
What if Beltran is hot?
I don't care how hot Beltran is. How about the long run? It's 160.
You're killing me now.
Bro, it's 162 games of this season, and this man is notoriously getting hurt. Why not give him a couple days off to keep his body shit?
But I gave him $45 million. You bucket. I gave him $45 million. You're going to definitely play unless you got to go on and disable it.
Listen. I ain't trying to be funny here. They gave Tanaka $155 million. He can't pitch every day.
You're going to break down.
Well, why not keep him fresh? Why not keep him fresh? You have an option to keep him fresh. Keep him, keep Ellsbury, even keep Gardner fresh. Keep them all fresh. Keep them all fresh. September come, get the engine going again. They're not taking out. I'm not saying to start Ichiro over Beltran or Ellsbury or Gardner. Are you kidding me? I'm not never going to say that. But what I'm saying is this. He is a reliable option in case someone goes down. And in this case, you know it's only a matter of time before one of those or two or three.
I'm not trying to think about Beltran getting hurt. I guess that's why I'm not on that. I'm not thinking about Beltran getting hurt, man. I'm thinking about Beltran doing his numbers. If Ichiro wants to do his thing, and as far as, you know, getting the rotation as far as DH is concerned, you know what I mean? Because Soriano's going to be the DH. So, I mean, unless Beltran's a switch hitter. So I don't know how that's going to, you know, play out. Ichiro's going to get his at-bats and how many at-bats he's going to need and how many at-bats he's going to want. And I don't know how that's going to work out, my dude. But to keep Ichiro, hey, it's insurance for us. He's a Yankee, man. That's all I can say.
And
a lot of teams right now
wish they had an Ichiro on their team.
Y'all don't think that Ellsbury is overpaid?
Of course he's overpaid.
Yeah, Ellsbury's way overpaid, Slate. Ellsbury's way. They gave him too many years from the door, first of all.
The highest offer he had was from Boston. The highest offer he had was from Boston for 5 years at $90 million. What the heck the Yankees came in with this? I like Ellsbury, but not for no, what was that, 165?
7 years for 152, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
153. 7 years for 153.
I know he was laughing all the way home.
And I'm sorry, I like Granderson better. That's just me.
I do too. You could have gotten.
But you talk about somebody that was you talk about somebody that's fragile. Granderson was the bad luck Barry dude. He got hit in the hand twice and missed significant time. So I mean, you know, if he wasn't hitting a home run, he was striking out. If he wasn't
that's
striking out,
year.
He wasn't even playing, huh?
It happens. Ask Teixeira.
Yeah, I mean, with Mark Teixeira, that's, you know, I don't even know what to say with Teixeira. But again, man, you know, Granderson felt like the grass was greener out there in Flushing. You know what I mean? Wish him all good luck out there playing for the Mets and all that. And but yeah, I mean, look what we replaced him with. You know, so I think that if Ellsbury could give me 50 plus stolen bases and 15 home runs, 20 home runs, and a good situation in about 290, 300, I'm good with that, man. But if you're going to do it for 7 years, I don't know. I don't know if you're going to do it for 7 years.
Now, Slate, I agree with you, Slate, about Granderson.
Yeah, man.
And then what was his contract? 3 years, $36 million? 3 years, $36 million? Can you imagine if we would have signed him back for 3 years, $36 million, the amount of money we would have still had left over to spend? We could have tightened up our bullpen. We could have had another starter. I mean, I didn't understand that signing. I still don't understand that signing.
Me neither.
I still don't. Sometimes we overspend.
We overspend. I definitely agree with you. We overspent.
The same overpayment, if you ask me.
And we overspent.
Who, Ellsbury?
Yeah, they might as well have kept Cano and gave him the money he wanted.
I'm happy Cano is out. I'm thrilled.
I think that if we would have gave Cano, look at the team that we would have had if we would have gave Cano that money, right? The outfield would have been garbage. Okay, it would have been no Beltran, no Ellsbury. Right? And probably no Gardner, because we would have had to trade to get somebody.
We had to trade him.
So our
exactly.
outfield would have been like Ichiro, Soriano, Eduardo Nunez. We had nobody at third base. We had nobody behind the plate. You know what I'm saying? We wouldn't have signed Tanaka. You know what I mean? So I'm kind of glad that we turned Robinson Cano into...
I'm going off the fact that Cano might be the biggest creep out there, but he produces. He's going to bat three and some change. He's going to hit at least 30 home runs on a bad year. He's going to produce those runs. Ellsbury,
right, and he's going to make, he's going to not run out some ground balls to shortstop. He's going to make the easy play look hard. He's going to make an error when he don't need an error. He's going to drop a ball here and there. And I mean, all the good stuff that you say about Cano, you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely fine, my dude. I agree with you 150%.
But is that worth is $300 million worth that, him not running out the ball or making a crucial error and things of that nature? That's, I mean, that's how I looked at it with Robinson Cano.
And so,
and for him to ask for $300 million,
that terminology, I'm just saying, I say, is giving Ellsbury all that extra money worth him running harder for the ball?
That
Ellsbury
was more,
is grossly overpaid, if you ask me.
That was
Ellsbury's overpaid. Beltran's overpaid. McCann's overpaid. Tanaka's
overpaid.
CeCe's
overpaid.
Huh?
I don't think Beltran's overpaid. I don't think Beltran.
$45 million for 3 years?
I think that's a good contract for him. I really do.
I'm just saying,
good contract
he
for him.
Broke the bank with the Yankees because nobody else in the league was going to give Ellsbury that type of money.
Okay.
Nobody.
So if you're not complaining about Beltran getting 45 for three, you why are you beefing about Ellsbury getting 153 for seven?
That is ridiculous.
I just don't like Ellsbury.
That is ridiculous.
They gave Gardner 52.
That's
they gave McCann 85.
That's pretty good.
With an option for that might go up to $1 million. They already paid Teixeira, Jeter, CeCe. They gave Tanaka what they give Tanaka, Hollywood. What, 137, 140?
7 years. That's all in-house.
7 years,
like,
155
I know you.
Million.
I grew up with you. I'll give you
plus
money.
The 20, plus
the
20
man.
For the posting fee.
I'm not going to give the next man money. You're in-house. Yeah. You feel me? Gardner and them is homebred. Ellsbury came from our rivals.
But Slate, do you really think that Cano is worth $300 million though for real?
Absolutely not. My analogy was, I'm just saying it. Your overpaid Ellsbury to me is basically the same thing. That's
nah, but
I'm
think
saying.
Cano. I think see, you gotta understand something too. Cano again, like Mayor said. I mean, you're talking about somebody who's so nonchalant playing this game of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if he was going wrong or not. And then, too, I read an article where I'm even more happy that they got rid of him now. You know who his best friend was, his idol on the team was? Alex Rodriguez. Goodbye. 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 That's another reason why I'm glad he's gone. You're associating yourself with a criminal, if you ask me. And that's just my opinion. And now you're making demands about how much money you should get. Now you're here in Seattle. You got the money. You got all this money that you wanted. Fine, you got it. But now you're out there telling the general manager of who he should sign. Good, that's all good of who you want to be on your team. But guess what? They don't have the money to sign him because they gave it all to you. Have fun out there in Seattle with your 30 home runs and your 110 RBIs and your 55, 60 singles that half of them could have been doubles, but you ain't decide you wanted to hustle fast enough out the box. Have fun, Cano. Slate, glad Cano is gone. Happy.
Hollywood, you finished? He may not do nothing
in the playoffs or whatever. Yep. He won't be playoff bound, but he'll be all right in the offseason, that's for sure.
Seattle, you can – I don't know what the situation is about as far as Seattle. They put all their hopes into Robinson Cano, but as far as Seattle not having no money, couldn't be farther from the truth. They got – that's Nintendo money. They got money. They just don't got nobody that wants to go out there and play.
Bro.
They got nobody that they can sign. Now,
bro,
as far as – getting them some help. They need help pitching. They could have signed. They could still sign Irvin Santana. He's still out there. And I don't know why Irvin Santana is still a free agent. Okay.
They
got Corey Hart. Okay. They got Logan Morrison. And I don't know how they're going to help Robinson Cano because they still need another bat. They Raul Ibanez. He went back to the Angels. So that was the DH dude that they had, Raul Ibanez. He's gone. So I don't know what they're going to do. They're still missing a lot. They can't survive with Justin Smoke at first base and Brad Miller at shortstop and Dustin Ackley playing left field. They can't survive. They need some more bats. And I don't know where they're going to get them from, Hollywood and Slate and Kia. I don't have
no
idea.
There's nowhere to get them from. Nelson Cruz.
There's nobody out there. Nelson Cruz signed with the Orioles.
Yeah, they act like they didn't have money for Nelson Cruz, is what I'm saying. I mean,
I think it was the Biogenesis stuff with Nelson Cruz, though.
Okay,
I don't think they
want to
be associated
Santana?
With that.
Huh? What's the story with Santana?
I have no idea what's the story
Bronson
with Santana. I don't know.
Bronson Arroyo, and who was the other one who signed with the Orioles?
Bronson Arroyo signed with Arizona.
I know that. I'm saying if they have so much money, they didn't even go make offers to none of these people.
He's still hanging out there, man, and I don't understand what the deal is with him.
He's going to Baltimore.
I just think that you know, the Yankees are going to, you know, do some things. I'm kind of, you know, leery about, you know, where we're going to be at because the other teams in the division. So I'm not worried about Tampa Bay. Key, I'm doing a baseball preview next week. Don't get it twisted. I'm not worried about Tampa Bay. I'm still thinking that, you know, Boston's going to be strong. Their pitching has got a little bit a year older, just like ours. You know what I mean? I'm worried about Baltimore because Baltimore added some things. You know what I mean? And I think their team might be better than what it was 2 years ago. But we'll get into that later. Listen, I got Slate in the building with me. I got Mr. Hollywood. I got Kia in the building with me. We're going to touch back on some NCAA college basketball right quick. Selection Sunday is coming up. We're going to do it like this, Selection Tuesday in the building. So I got Kia in the building with me, right? All right, she's outside fixing the flat. I got Hollywood in the building.
Yeah.
I'm not outside. I'm not outside. You said I'm outside.
Slate, what's good?
Yeah, I'm here.
I ain't say nothing, kid. Don't worry about it. I said you was writing a thank you note to Lamar Woodley.
No. Oh, are you being funny?
No. You was writing a thank you letter to Lamar Woodley.
You know she got.
All right, man, you gonna get jumped out.
I said it twice. I'm sorry. Woo! Yeah, we rock in here, man. After further review, it goes down. We have fun, man. I'm bugging, man. I got you. Yo, Audio Rush, Kid Crash out of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. VinylElements.com is sponsoring this hour of After Further Review, man. So I miss you, man. I'm having fun. I'm doing my thing. VinylElements.com. Check them out, man, for all your hip-hop stuff, man, music, you know what I mean, Blu-rays, DVDs. They got you covered, man. VinylElements.com. Check them out. They're sponsoring After Further Review tonight. Right now, man, we're going to get into this thing, man. We're going to do Selection Tuesday. We in the building. I got Slate in the building. I got Mr. Hollywood in the building. I got Kia in the building. So we're going to rock out like this. Kia, I'm going to let you go first because Hollywood was saying you might have another list. And we're only asking for the top four, okay? Your top four, right? In and your top four out. Okay? We have some lovely gifts backstage.
My top four what?
Your top four tournament teams, Kia. Come on now. How long you been a participant in the show? Come on now. This is Selection Tuesday.
That's what I'm saying. Don't even try it.
That's that Puerto Rican. Hey, do you want me to switch to Hollywood so you get your thing together on the communication tip?
Switch
to Hollywood.
I'm going to pass it down the line to Hollywood. Hollywood, I need four teams, man.
You need four teams that's going to be...
I need your first Slate. Hold on. Let me get Slate, man. Slate, show them how it's done, man. I need four teams, man.
Well, my four in, I got two in. The other two is up for grabs, like it could be Kansas for anybody, but I think my two definites is one is Wichita State, undefeated. And to me, from beginning to end, Florida's been playing the best ball, and they don't get talked about to me. Not enough.
You said Florida?
That's just my opinion, Florida.
Got you. All right, real quick, Hollywood, real quick, your two. I'm going to get back to you, Slate, on that. Real quick, Hollywood.
Well, my four is Wichita State, Florida, Villanova, I'm going to say Arizona,
got you. All right, so Slate, you said you got two definites, which are Wichita State and Florida. Who are your teams that you're thinking about for those other two slots?
Duke. Like, I hate them. You know, I'm diehard North Carolina, but they just always in it some kind of way, yo. It's like they scared to put a Coach K team below number five or something. Like, come on. For real. Yeah. Like, look how long it took y'all to get that number one seed when y'all was beating everybody in the ACC. Though it was by 1 second victory, some of them.
y'all were still undefeated for the longest, and Duke had one or two losses, and they never dropped below y'all. I couldn't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about towards the beginning of the year, towards like the first 10 to 15 games when y'all was undefeated and doing your thing. Nobody in the ACC could touch y'all. Duke was taking L's, and they never dropped below y'all. Y'all was number 7 for a while Duke was at number 2 or whatever and lost, and then they dropped to number 5. If y'all lose, y'all be number 15.
Yeah.
I never got that. Like, that's a Coach K thing.
Mm.
But that's just
so you got Wichita State,
biased,
Florida,
bro.
Florida, Duke, and who else?
Maybe Kansas, give or take. Like, after that, I'm real sketchy with it.
Okay, I got you. Wichita State, Florida, Duke, and Kansas. I got my first four in. Mine's is Florida, Wichita State, Louisville, and Villanova. I just think that those two teams, especially those last two, Louisville and Villanova, are playing right. This is their time of the year. Excuse me? This is their time of the year right now, and I think that Jay Wright and Villanova, especially, you know, out of the season that they had some noticeable, you know, wins this season, and they also had some noticeable losses this season. So but for them to earn one of the, you know, a number one seed, I think says a lot about the season that they had. They lost to Creighton by 21 points, right? They lost to Creighton again by 28 points, and they lost to Syracuse by 16 points. So they lost to some teams that they're probably going to have to come across during the NCAA tournament. But again, 28 wins is nothing to sneeze at. Kia, you ready for me?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, I need your first four in.
Okay, my first four in. My first one is Kansas.
Uh-huh.
Florida.
Right.
Wichita State.
Uh-huh.
And Syracuse. That's who's in.
Okay, thank you. I like that. I like Syracuse in there.
Ooh.
I like that. I didn't see any Kentucky in there or Georgetown, but I'm not, you know, I'm not gonna talk about
that. You
know
that. What? I ain't even
not
one.
Kentucky or Georgetown.
We ain't gonna talk about Kentucky or Georgetown. But yeah, so I mean I like you think that Kansas is still, you know, even with the kid Embiid being out, they're still going to make some noise in their tournament, first of all, and they're still going to be able to catch the number one seed in the Big Dance.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's the same thing, you know, I think they are. And I think the same thing is about Arizona. How far Arizona think they can go without Astros?
Yeah,
you know,
so,
funny,
I mean, yeah, so I like
Kansas.
The four. It's kind of like it's spread all over the place. You know what I mean? And, I think that my four teams that I think that are on the bubble right now and might make it in or might not make it in, it depends. I think you got to look at a team like maybe a team like a Florida State, where the way they lost to Syracuse the other night, that might be, the loss that kind of like kicks them off the cliff, you know what I mean? You got to look at a team also like a Cal, California, or Minnesota even. Minnesota was doing nice things early in the season, and they just kind of like fell apart. Look at a team like the St. John's, you know, a team that might be on the bubble. You might look at a Pittsburgh, you know, because I don't know how many teams at the ACC are going to send to the tournament. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, depending on what Pittsburgh does in the ACC tournament, I'm looking at them as being one of the on-the-bubble teams. And trying to spread it out, that's going to be a thing, too. I think that some teams, it's going to be at least one or two teams this season that's not going to get in the tournament that should have got in. It happens every year, right? But, you know, you got to look at it like, you know, they try to be fair about it and spread out. But, wow, if you got a team that won 26 games versus a team that won 15 games, but the team that won 15 games won their conference tournament. That's how they got in. So what can you say to that? You know, so I mean, again, you know, the basketball thing is a crapshoot, man. You only get one chance for romance. It's either in or out, and you don't get a chance to get no do-overs. But any surprise team? What surprise team do you think that'll make some noise upcoming in the NCAA tournament? Hollywood, I'm gonna ask you first. You see a team out there that's kind of like flying under the radar?
St. Louis.
Okay. St. Louis. Slate, who you like, man, that's flying under the radar?
I wouldn't say really flying under the radar, but Virginia. They got
okay.
they got a nice right. little clue when they played, you know, to their capabilities. But, you know, that loss against Maryland is going to hurt them. And everybody's
right.
eyes, you know what I'm saying? And real quick, not to get off topic, I love Andrew Wiggins. I think he's just as good, if not more athletically superior to Jabari Parker. It's just that I wish Kansas would run the ball through him more. Like how Duke does Jabari Parker. Jabari Parker's in on everything. Whether they shoot a three or they go inside the paint, he's touching the ball in that sequence every time. Kansas, they be on some hot potato, clinched in, run the wheel. Like, and this Wiggins, oh, man, I just wish he was more aggressive. Like, yo, go for yours. You're unstoppable. Like, so, yo, that kid got everything you need, man. He's athletic. He's quick off, you know, with the tap up. He got it all. Handle. He got the jump shot. He can jump out the gym. He's fast as a gazelle up and down the court. He plays defense. They just don't run the ball through him.
Think he the number one pick, Slate?
Huh?
Think he the number one pick?
Actually, no. And that's only because they got a great white hope coming. Let me tell you if you don't know. I would not be surprised at all if McDermott wins the Player of the Year.
You already
I
know.
He's going to win it. I think he's going
to
win it.
He's going to be like another Jimmer Fredette. But he does have more skills than Jimmer. He's bigger.
He's
bad. And his basketball
I think
IQ
I think
is
McDermott
high.
Will win it.
But,
I agree. I think McDermott will win that.
But
you don't
I
think he deserves it?
The last, you know, not to be racial or nothing, but, hey, it is what it is. Quacks like a duck, talks like a duck. When is the last time somebody white came out of the college and that translated good into the NBA? And don't say Kevin Love because Kevin Love sucked his first couple years he came out. Right now he's gelling and doing his thing. But it's hard, man. That is from boys to men. And I'm not talking about the R&B group.
But I
right
think
right here in the building, man.
Hey, Mr. May, I had another team to add on to that's under the radar for me, too, in this tournament, and that would be San Diego State.
All right, San Diego State, I got you.
Yeah,
I was going to say San Diego
State,
but now since you said it, I'm going to change my mind. Go ahead, San Diego State. I agree with you, definitely. I was going to say that was going to be my team that's going to be a lock, guaranteed, bet the farm, at least Sweet 16 team, at least. That's the farm on it, San Diego State. You kind of stole my thunder, but it's all good. I like that. That's a good pick. I like San Diego State, man. But, Slate, like you were saying, man, you know, Doug McDermott, man, strong player, very, very, very big favorite for Player of the Year and all that. But, you know, we each could have our own candidates, you know what I mean? But, you know, we know how that go. Slate said his team that he likes to be under the radar would be Virginia. Kia, you got a team that's nobody paying attention to that might do some things in the tournament?
I agree with Virginia and San Diego State. That was play about McDermott. I mean, you know, I think he is going to win it. I mean, I just think McDermott had I just think he just had a great season. He did. You can't take that away from him.
Who's that?
Yeah. She was talking about McDermott. He said he had it.
Nah,
he's doing his
big thing right now. I give him the edge over Jimmer Fredette because he's bigger and his basketball IQ is way better.
Way
I just
better.
Know that doesn't always transition well to the NBA.
Well,
that's all I'm saying, you know.
But I think he will. I just think for some reason he will. It just wants him to play all season. Look how it's just something about him that when he gets into the NBA, it's going to be a whole different. He's going to just like separate that, you know, that little myth about like how you say when he gets to the NBA, it may not be. But I think he's going to play. I think he really is going to win the.
I know one thing. He has NBA range. That boy's been shooting some half court
threes.
That's
what I'm saying. He's unbelievable. I'm just saying. I think he's going to win it.
That's what it is, man. You're listening to After Further Review, man. It's Tuesday night, March 11th. We rocking out hard body. I got my man Slate in the building. I got Mr. Hollywood in the building. I got Kia in the house holding it down. Tonight's show being sponsored by VinylElements.com. I got you, Audio Rush, Kid Crash. Straight out of Oklahoma City, they got the fireworks popping off out there, man. Get down with them, man, for all your music needs, hip-hop, straight hip-hop, man. Anything you need, they got you covered, man. North, south, east, and west, check out VinylElements.com. Yeah, that's what it is. So my team, I think that you know, everybody, you know, is picked their four that they like, you know what I mean? And my team that is going to be flying under the radar, you know, it's just been talked about, their players. I think you need to watch Creighton. I think, you know, with the experience and, you know, Doug McDermott, they're going to talk about him. And you know, they're definitely going to be a team to watch. And I think that they can make it as far as they, you know, Doug McDermott takes them. And, of course, he's going to need help. But as far as a Cinderella team, you know what happens every year. I'm just going to put it out there. Tommy Amaker and his team at Harvard, you know, they're doing, you know, some real nice things. They're going to be probably a 10 or 11 seed in the tournament. But I'm thinking that Harvard might win two games in this tournament. I'm just saying, shout out to Tommy Amaker and the job that he's doing down there on the low. You know, keeping it moving. What's the deal, man? Anybody talking about Shaka Smart this year in Virginia Commonwealth? Because, you know, they were, you know, the Cinderellas of the tournament the last couple of years. Paying attention to what they've been doing?
I haven't really heard anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
I
no, no disrespect.
I haven't heard.
No disrespect to them. It's, you know, they're ranked 23rd in the nation. They're doing their thing, man. You know, I just, you know, as far as, you know, one of the teams that usually, you know, makes some noise during tournament time, you really haven't heard about them. Or, you know, anybody heard about any team that's sneaking up like a Florida Gulf Coast? Because they came out of nowhere. They was just dunking on everybody, you know what I mean? Just Dunk City, Lob City, Florida Gulf Coast, you know, was one of the teams that came out of the tournament last year. You know, pulled
talking
a couple of ups.
I
think they beat Connecticut in the tournament last year.
They had two glass slippers.
Yeah. So it's always going to be that team. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, they have some glass slippers for your behind. Two glass slippers.
Yeah,
the dress, the wand. They have some luck for your
man. That's what it is, man. So, I mean, you know, the usual suspects are definitely going to be in the building. Dukes, North Carolinas. What's the outlook of your team, man, as far as the whole thing is concerned? Slate, ACC tournament, NCAA tournament. What it look like, man, as far as North Carolina?
We throwing haymakers. What you mean what it looks like? We got a puncher's chance. I just don't think we're going to go too far.
Yeah,
because
y'all, you know, y'all playing
throws.
Good ball. You're playing good ball right now.
We can't hit free throws. You got a bunch of Dwight Howards, man. Listen, man. They ain't alley-oops and dunks. It's a Rizzy. And it's a Rizzy.
Right.
We can't hit free throws. And I'm not just saying we miss one or two. I mean the low 40s. Like, this is the worst North Carolina team shooting free throws wise in history. And then out of like 145 Division I teams, we're like 143rd and making threes. So not only do we shoot bad from the line, we don't have any three-point shooters at all. Page is the only one that chucks one up once in a while that even goes in. Him and McDonald. So, I mean, we, like I said, you know, tournament time, it is what it is. You know, dollar and the dream, all that. But reality, if we get to the Sweet 16, we overachieve. That's just my opinion.
I mean, what kind of seed do you see North Carolina getting, man? Because you got some nice wins on your resume, man, for this year, man.
But I think those nice wins would just translate to us getting into the tournament. Because remember, at one time this year, we were 11-7 and lost our like first five ACC games. Then we went on that 12-game winning streak. But during that bad stretch, we beat the likes of Kentucky. We beat Michigan State when they was number one. We beat Louisville when they was number
yep.
two. We beat Duke
yep.
when they was number five.
Yep.
So we was
yep.
throwing haymakers. We got knockout power. We just don't have that technique.
You lost. You got some nice wins, man. You got some nice wins.
Yeah.
And you know, you lost. Virginia,
man,
Texas, and you lost to Syracuse. But you know. Yeah, you lost to Syracuse, man. But it's all good, though, man. I mean, North Carolina, Roy Williams is gonna have the Tar Heels ready, man.
I hope so. One thing about North Carolina, the Dukes, the Kentuckys, the Syracuses, all these top-tier teams, they reload. Like nowadays, these guys is one and done and all that, but they just reload. These top recruiting schools going to keep recruiting. They're going to be in it to win it every year. You know how that goes. I just want to see good ball. You know what I mean?
That's what it is.
I just want to make a couple down-to-the-wire games, a nice Final Four. I'm good money, man.
That's what it is, man. Listen, after further review, man, 646-200-3838 is the math, man. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. They said the lines is lit up, man, like Christmas trees, man. Let's get it popping, man. Speak your mind and all that, man. For my hockey people, you know, I got to get it in for my hockey heads, man. Right now, Nashville just scored. It's 4-1. Nashville Predators 4, Buffalo Sabres 1. New Jersey Devils 2, Philadelphia Flyers 1. Carolina Hurricanes 3, New York Rangers 1, Columbus Blue Jackets 4, Detroit Red Wings 1, Phoenix Coyotes 2, Florida Panthers nothing, Pittsburgh Penguins 1, Washington Capitals nothing, Dallas Stars and St. Louis Blues tied at 1 in the second period, Minnesota Wild and the Edmonton Oilers 3-1 Minnesota in the second period, Toronto and San Jose Sharks start later on tonight at 10:30. Yeah, a little situation happened last night at the Dallas Stars game with Columbus. Rich Peverly plays for the Dallas Stars, man. He had a little situation with his heart and just kind of like passed out on the bench, and it was a serious thing. But he's doing better right now, man, and it's just a situation where you never know anything can happen, man. And shout out to him, man, and hope that everything is going to be better with him soon, man. You know what I mean? So make sure that everything is everything with you, man, before you get out there and play this strenuous sport to do any type of strenuous activities. Because you only got one heart, man. You got to take care of it. You know what I mean? So that's a PSA from me to you. And that's how it goes down, man, after further review, man. We rocking out, man. You got the mayor in the building. 646-200-3838 is the mathematics to dial. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. Tonight's show is being sponsored once again by my good people at FinalElements.com out of Oklahoma City. Audio Rush, Kid Crash, I got you. So yeah, man, we picked our, you know, top four in, you know what I mean? We picked a little under the radar teams and all of that, you know what I mean? Back to the NBA, Slate Rap. I see you, man. I see you. What is your prognosis, man, for your Lakers, man? It is what it is, man, but what do you think that they should do from this point forward? Going into next year.
First and foremost, Kobe get healthy.
Okay.
Second thing they need to do, because that fiasco cannot go down for Laker Nation ever again. It's one thing losing. It's another thing almost losing by 50. I don't care if the coaches had to play. You don't lose by 50 to nobody on a pro-level NBA game. That's just ridiculous. That's not showing up. That's giving up. But first and foremost, get Kobe healthy. Then next, like, figure something out. Like, I don't want to lose Gasol because I think even though he need to go see the Wizard and get some heart, he's still one of the best big men as far as with the right and left hand in the league. So if we could somehow keep him, I would want to do it. But on that same note, I'm looking at the cap space thing, and he got to take a pay cut. He has to take a pay cut to stay. He's not going to get no $16 million or nothing foolish like that. He needs to be around the 8 range. Now, if he doesn't accept that and wants to leave, I get that because I'm also the model is get your money while you can get it because any freak accident in your career could be over. So get paid while you can. But, you know, get this cap space, get a top free agent in there, and that's we got to rebuild. It is what it is.
So is it a situation where you can see the Lakers being a contender in the West, or is it going to take a couple of years to get back to where you're used to being?
Come on, let's be real. From my heart,
I hope we'll be a contender, but in reality, realist before idealist, really I think it's going to take a year or two. Ideally, I hope we can get over. But, you know, I say another year or two, we can contend. Like, yo, the West is rough, man. Like, if we was in the East right now, we fighting for the last spot.
Right.
In the West, we like, it's over in the West. But in the East, we fighting for the last spot. Like I tell some of you Knicks fans, we have a built-in excuse. There was a game where Sacre got fouled, and they had to keep him in the game with six fouls because we had nobody available to come off the bench. Now, there's hurt, and then there's devastated. That's devastation when you don't even have seven people to get dressed. I mean, at one time it was Nash, Kobe, Gasol, Hill, Swaggy P, Jody Meeks, Xavier Henry. Like, come on, are you kidding me? Steve Blake, Jordan Farmer was all hurt at the same time. Now, I don't care if you take the Miami Heat. Take their first 8.5 players out the game. Their first start, their starting five, and then the next three off the bench. See how good they would pick a team. And you take their first starting eight out the game. And then they got to compete with the likes of the Clippers and all of these young teams with
Portland
these all-star rosters that's running up and down the court.
Right.
And I'm not an excuse dude, but come on, man. That's like telling me to go up against Usain Bolt and I'm in a wheelchair. Like,
yeah,
man,
I hear
you, man. Fighter's chance. Like, come on, man. But on that same note, like I tell everybody, I've been a fan since 1980. I've seen us win multiple chips. Magic's not Kobe 7, of which we won 10. I've physically seen myself without a VCR or Betamax. Like, I watched the game. So if the Lakers never win again, I'll be all right, because I done seen more than my share. Like, they tell me Lakers fans, it's easier to be a Laker fan because we spoiled. Knicks fans are real fans because they ain't used to doing nothing and they still there.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, we still here, man. You know,
Hold that.
Huh?
You started it with the low blows. Bong, hold that.
It's all good. It's all good, family. I got you. You know what I mean? But, yeah, man, that's a perfect segue, man, talking about the Knicks fans that, you know, just because you don't see it how they see it from their rose-colored, you know, perspective that, you know, the Knicks are going to make the playoffs. The Knicks make the playoffs, that's nice. You know, but who are you going to play in the playoffs? Indiana or Miami? Pick your poison. So
I'd rather play Indiana right now, though, because they seem to have lost their identity and half their mind.
Who?
Indiana. They seem to have their own way right now. And then what's up
they kind of hit that wall, man. They're going to be all right.
Listen, I'm all for working out.
But I'm just talking.
I'm talking about being boys. But on the court, I'm not asking you to mentor me during the season, and it's about to be playoff time. Mentor me later. Mentor me on the off season, but not during playoff time when you're the main obstacle. And you got what I want. Not gonna happen. I wasn't brought up that way.
No, I mean, you gotta call before you walk. You gotta learn how to win, and you know, Indiana, they're gonna, you know, either they're gonna get it or they're not gonna get it, man. Because we've seen the story with them before, man. You know what I mean? And you know, I just, you know, think as far as the Pacers are concerned, they gotta, you know, they're getting in their own way. You know, they're putting the cart before the horse. It's not playoff time yet. You know what I mean? They always talk about this, you know, our main thing is to beat the Heat. You got to get into a situation where you're playing the Heat. You're playing everybody right now, man. Do what you do. Handle your numbers. Get that first seed in the East, man, and make it happen for yourself. But I'm a Knicks fan, so I really can't be too concerned with what's going on in Indiana. But all I can say as far as what my Knicks fans is concerned, man, just look at it from the realistic terms. Because you're looking at it in realistic terms, because you're always talking about if the Knicks win. If the Knicks win. If you're so concerned about the Knicks being, you know, winning a world championship, you used to say when the Knicks win instead of if. So you're not really sure yourself.
So I'm confident in my spot because I'm not sure, you know, about, I'm not feeling the Knicks right now. You know what I mean? And we're both looking at the same scenario. So there's no way you can tell me, oh, well, yeah, we've, you know, done well in the regular season against Miami and we should beat them in the playoffs. Yeah, okay. The regular season and the playoffs are two different animals altogether.
I don't subscribe
to that theory that, you know, the Knicks could still get in the eighth position and beat Miami or Indiana, whoever they're going to play. You know what I mean? So, yes. I mean, it's going to take so much out of you even making the playoffs. That first series against Miami or Indiana, if that goes 6 or 7 games, that's your finals right there. Because you're going to be too wore out and spent for the second round and the Eastern Conference Finals. You know what I mean?
I
don't trust the Knicks, man. I just put it out there. Straight like that. I don't trust
it. Works for the Knicks, so I hope y'all do work. Because I can get tickets all day.
I hear you. That's what it is. I'd be right in the building like, let's go Knicks, let's go Knicks. But I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. But we here, man. After further review, we touched on a lot of stuff tonight, man. NFL free agency, we touched on the Knicks. Spring training with baseball, all that. We did our little Selection Tuesday joint. We even talked a little hockey, man. Anybody got anything to talk about that we haven't touched on before we get ready to get out of here?
No.
Okay. Huh?
Hey. Hello?
Oh, real quick.
Hello. Don't everybody speak at one time.
Hi. Check it out. Real quick. Now it seems like there's a big discussion going on because your boy is kind of dark horsing in the race for the MVP, I'm hearing. And he is doing work. It's like night and day from the beginning of the year to now. He must have went to see the Wizard too. Blake Griffin is doing damage right now. I don't know if he's caught up to LeBron and Durant.
Nah. Blake Griffin's only doing what he's supposed to do out there, man.
He's doing his numbers though right now, man.
Yeah, he's doing his numbers. He's just doing what he's supposed to be doing. You know, I think the Clippers are one of those teams that got to show and prove once the playoffs start.
Oh, without a doubt. But I'm just saying, the boy needed some heart, man.
It wasn't
pumping before. It's pumping now. That's
yeah,
all I'm
he's jumping over. He's jumping over. He's jumping over some bigger cars or something. I don't know.
Better brand than Kia's.
I heard that, but that's, you know, I mean, you know, yeah, he's definitely put himself in the mix, man, and you know, as far as the people, you know, trying to, you know, goad him into fights and situations, that's, you know, that's just something that he's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to deal with or whatever, and he's going to also definitely have to, you know, be careful about that, because once the playoffs start, they quick with those whistles, man. So, again, in the MVP conversation, he's right in the mix. Yep, he's right in the middle of it, you know. Everybody's having their little spurt as we get towards the end of the season. You know, who's going to be next, that next person to be talking about for MVP consideration. Yeah, man, I mean, Blake is doing what Blake is supposed to do, you know. I don't know if that's Kia driving or what's going on, but we in the building, man. Live and direct, 646-200-3838 is the mathematics to dial. Mr. Hollywood, man, you got any words to say before we get out of here, man?
I just want to give a shout-out to After Further Review, GQ Sports Palace, the mayor, everybody. Enjoy talking with y'all every Sunday. Every Tuesday. I definitely look forward to 8 o'clock. Listen to the trash talk. Listen to Miss Kia and everybody else. Whenever. So
you better put down that. You better put down. What is it? What is this slate? The honey whiskey. What is it?
Honey Jack, baby.
Look like Hollywood. Hollywood is making it happen. Nicky Jack Nicholson.
I love y'all, man. If that's Aunt, that better not be Angie.
I don't know who it is. What's going on?
Yeah.
Hello, I'm here, man. I don't know what's going on with these phone lines, man, but we in the building, man. We still going to ride these last 12 minutes out. I got Slate in the house. I got Hollywood in the building. I think I got Kia on the line with me.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, so that's what it is.
Before we get out of here, man, I just want to say, man, you know, this time of year is kind of like dry, man. You know, it's not no championship things going on. Basketball season is, you know, I'm heading towards the last, you know, towards the playoffs. You know, baseball still in spring training. Coming off this, you know, the Super Bowl's over. You know what I mean? You know, the next best thing is getting ready to start with the conference tournaments in basketball right now. But, you know, I think that, you know, as being a sports fan or whatever, this is still an exciting time of the year, man, because, you know, you got, you know, the NCAA tournament, the excitement of Selection Sunday, you know what I mean? You could talk, you know, kind of like look at, and even with hockey, you know, hockey's heading towards the stretch drive of this season and things of that nature. So if you're a sports head, there's definitely something, you know, that could hold your attention down until, you know, whatever sport that you prefer gets back in season again, because they all kind of overlap now anyway. All the seasons overlap. You know, I remember once upon a time when you knew when it was baseball season and when it was football season, you know what I'm saying? So it is what it is, man, you know, and being a sports head, you know, it's always something to talk about. You know, it's always something to talk about. And the reason why I brought that up, because, you know, it was brought to my attention when some people say, well, it's a dry part of the year now. There's nothing to talk about. You bugging? There's a whole bunch of stuff to talk about as far as sports is concerned. The Cotto and Martinez fight going down June 7th. You know, that's getting ready to pop off. You got Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley getting ready to pop off April 12th. You know what I mean? You just had Canelo Alvarez and Angulo, which was a decent fight, but, you know, it was just something to say that somebody for Canelo Alvarez to beat up. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. If you paid for that one, more power to you. I got a bridge that I'd like to sell you. You know, so it's boxing is popping if you're paying attention to it. So, again, there's a lot of stuff to talk about as far as sports is concerned. And we're here every Tuesday night, man. I'm here during the week after further review, man, to talk about, you know, whatever it is you want to talk about. And I'm going to give you my opinion. I'm not going to give you an opinion that you heard on ESPN or none of that stuff right there. So that's what it is. So come get down with the mayor, man. Give your opinion. Speak your mind. Definitely say what you got to say, and it's definitely going to get some feedback, you know what I mean, good, bad, or indifferent. So that's how we rock here after. Yes, sir.
You
didn't
let me
finish my speech, man. Why you cut me off, man?
I don't know, brother. They'll sue me in court again. I mean, you know how that go. I'm sorry. But
go ahead,
I
man. Speak your mind, man. I'm going to have to put you on mute, fam. Go ahead.
I hear you, brother. Do you think on that Tiger Woods, talking about, since we're talking about all kind of sports here, do you think Tiger Woods is done? Will he ever be the same again?
He won't never be the same again, but I don't think he's done. I don't think he'll ever be the same again. But he's not done. It's just he's just got to put a weekend together. He does his thing on Friday, falls off on Saturday. Does his thing on Saturday, falls off on Sunday. So he just got to put a weekend for a nice tournament together, win one, and get the monkey off his back. That's all.
None.
He's just gonna have to win, and
none.
I'm not talking about none of these other little side tournaments. I'm talking about a major. You got to win a major, man. And hopefully, he might, you know, needs to rest up and get ready for the Masters.
That dude kills me, man. Nothing for nothing. He killed me. How he hurt his back. Listen, golfing is walking with a stick. He's really out there acting like he's playing quarterback or something.
Right in the building.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You might as well be playing Pac-Man or something, and you hurt your back. Walking with a stick. That's all golfing is. Are you kidding me? Tiger, I agree with you, Mayor. Like, he's in it. That's the one sport you could play at 70. It's golf. But he's not going to be to that level that he was. I think
right.
He may fall. If he's lucky, he'll fall just short of Jack Nicklaus's record, but I don't ever think he's going to catch him there. After
right.
that thing with that chick, it's a wrap.
Well, I just want to say there's a lot of interesting release now in the NFL. A lot of signings, major signings going on. I dislike free agency. This is a bad thing for me.
Dislike what?
I don't dislike it. I just hate it when it comes and it can affect my team. Maybe that's probably what I have to say. I just hate free agency when it's turning the Steelers.
So how is it affecting your team so far?
What means?
I want to her, because I got your opinion. I wanted to see what she, because I was going to ask her about what she thought about the what the Steelers are doing.
wish we could have kept Woodley. I wish we could kept, I don't know, Keith who may be next. You know, it's just so many trends. It's like, are we going to keep Ike Taylor? Are you kidding me? They should be the one gone.
So Ike is rather suspect. He is rather suspect. Ike looking at backup safety or something. Word up, something. I don't know.
Yeah, he should be on that free agency list. But when Keith's name is probably mentioned, Whitley's name is mentioned, I'm like, what? I just really hate it when it's come to my team. It's just like I don't like to see. Really, I'm like, I don't like to see change when it comes, you know, if we all going to fix it, it's going to get fixed. Now it's like you got to see 56 no more. And you got to see 99. I'm hoping Keith's going to give back to the room. I care if they're the team.
If you could tell me what Kia just said the last 2 minutes, you could send an email to mckip@gmail.com. I have no idea. I have no idea what she was saying. So if you could tell me what she said, send an email, man, mckip@gmail.com, and we could talk about it. I think she said something about the Bears, something about the Steelers, about Lamar Woolley. I'm not sure.
She was just saying she's not feeling Ike Taylor. Like, how can we get rid of Woolley and keep Ike Taylor? That's what she was basically saying. Like, Ike is suspect, which he is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He got to play his position. Like, and she was just saying that.
I guess it's okay for her to say it, man, and nobody else to say that. Ike Taylor is suspect.
Yeah.
Let's say Ike Taylor's suspect for years. Ike Taylor's a bum, but I can't say that.
All right, man, watch your mouth. We can say that.
I'm sorry, Slay. That slipped out. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say Ike Taylor's a bum. I'm sorry. It slipped out. I'm sorry.
What did you mean to say, sir?
Huh?
What did you mean to say?
I was going to give Ike Taylor some gum.
Hollywood, you're in.
I was
going to
give him some gum. I'm sorry.
He's like, yo, what did you mean to say, sir?
Oh, man, yo. Listen, we rock it out, man. That's the further review. It goes down, man. Hard body. We do our thing, man. Shout out to the whole situation going down in GQ Palace Radio, man. I want to thank my man Slate, man, for always sliding through and providing, man, that good sports energy talk, man. You know what I mean? And because we talk sports like we talk sports after further review. Mr. Hollywood, man, I appreciate you, my G. Kia, you know what it is all
hey,
the
man,
time.
What,
you know what I mean? Tell the people at the phone company we got them. You know what I'm saying? tell them to come on the 32nd of February. We got them. We gonna have everything that they need. So yeah, man. Once again, man, you know how we do it, man. All week long, GQ Palace Radio holding you down. This is the Tuesday night vibe with the mayor. After further review, you know what it is already. If you don't know, now you know. Want to send one more shout out to VinylElements.com for sponsoring the show tonight, man. Want to thank the homie Kid Crash, the homie Audio Rush, man. Oklahoma City, hold it down. Big Rich, Mr. Vina behind the boards, man. All the other GQ Towers hosts, man. Tomorrow night, make sure you check out the Diva Squad, man. They do their thing from 7 to 9. I think then Chicky comes on and does the comedy thing to get your mind right on hump night and all that good stuff. And then on Thursdays, man, it's the Belvins doing what they do, man, letting you know what it is on the reality of relationship tip, man, and giving you a little insight into how they live and how they get down. Friday night, man, Rich is holding it down, the love and entertainment situation, man, letting you know what's popping in the world of music and all that. Sundays, Mr. Lavina, Spiritual Sundays, my man Scribio doing the same thing. Shout out to the whole Now Room Mob. Slate, what's good? I see you.
Yes, sir.
And then, you know, Mondays is Unsigned Artist Radio. Be back in the building at you real soon. And then Tuesdays, you know what we do, man. After further review, it goes down. Hard Body Karate. You got the mayor in the building. You already know the math, 646-200-3838. And we talk sports like we talk sports, man. We touched on a lot of things. We go all over the place with it. So make sure you bring your A-game if you just want to listen to hang out. Feel free to do that. Shout out to everybody, man. I see y'all next week. This is the mayor, man. After further review, we out. Peace.
Hey, y'all. This is Half Pipe. And at the further review, I'm checking out DeMayo on GQ Palace Radio.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on a pro. You want to join the conversation, gotta pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the mayor keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away, dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, or clay, we keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. But when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate, the point of view, after further review, you know what to do.